So this is Bhajan Rahasyam, Panchvayam Sarana, which is discussion on another verse from Shikshastakam, verse number 5. And this is performing Nambhajan to the level of asakti or attachment to Krishna. And we had read the verse and the translation. We were on verse 20. And we left Krishna in a very interesting situation, and that we froze that frame in our mind. Does anyone remember where Krishna, what's the situation with Krishna right now? Where is Krishna? Krishna is standing on the bank of the Yamuna River in Vrindavan. Because Yamuna is also Mathura, it's also an Agra. So Krishna is standing on the bank of the Yamuna River in Vrindavan, and what's the situation? He's picking up his dhoti. Because Radharani looked at him, not with a full vision, not with her complete drishti, not with purna drishti. Purna drishti means full vision, eye to eye. Only kataksha, kripa kataksha. Radharani only looked from the side of her eye, the corner of her eye. 25%, one quarter of her glance. Only one quarter of her glance. And what happened? Krishna's turban spun off his head, dropped his flute, dropped his dhoti, and the next thing he faints on the ground. And so the mandris are there, the sakis are there, Radharani is there, everyone is laughing, it's a great upsurge of hasya ras, and they're covering their faces with their veils, or their edge of their saris, trying to repress their belly laughs, and keep from laughing too much. Their faces are red, their cheeks are puffed out, flushed with red, their eyes are tearing, and their voices are choking because they're trying to contain their laughter. And Krishna looks so embarrassed. Although he's blue in color, he's turned bluish red. Because when blue combines with red, it makes purple. The color blue, the color red, when you mix them together, that comes up with a third color called purple. So Krishna's face is purple. Out of embarrassment, the flush of red is moving up, coming like a wave over his face, and he's feeling duly embarrassed, looking slightly purplish, which enhances his beauty even more. And he's scurrying very fast to pick up his dhoti and look in very nonchalant way, like, oh, this happens to everybody. I mean, what's everyone laughing at? What's everyone looking at? Just because I dropped my dhoti, that's not a big thing. Happens to everybody. This is an ordinary event. So the gopis are there and they're relishing a very sweet moment, appreciating the power of their swamini to control Krishna with even a slightest sidelong glance. They fully force Krishna into complete submission to Radharani's will, her indomitable will and power of Srimati Radharani's love. That she fully controls Krishna by her love. She can make him spin like a top. She can make Krishna spin like a top, or fly in the sky like a kite, or roll on the ground like a ball. Radharani has the power to make Krishna do whatever she wants. So the mandris are saying, when will I absorbed in ras, in this gona ras, this hasi ras, and this bhavalas ras, Bhavalasrati, when will I delight? When will I delight in the service of that Radha who has such command over Krishna, who has such loving control over Krishna, that such events can happen? This is just one event, a day in the life. They often have these expressions in modern world, a day in the life of Joe Smith or whatever. So a day in the life of Radharani. This is just one event in Radharani's life. One momentary pastime of Radharani with Krishna on the banks of the Yamuna. So sweet, so intimate, so humorous. And the sakis are there, the manjris are there. Raghunath Das is remembering this. Prabhupada Saraswati is remembering this in Radharas Sudaniti. A very sweet memory is coming in his heart. And the spurti is coming along with it. He's remembering it and he's seeing it deeply in his Swarupavesh. And his sarupa is Sangavidyasakhi. He's entering that lila. He's going there in his siddhadeha. He's seeing the beautiful scene. And he's recounting all the emotions he had, all the rasas that were swirling and moving in his heart and mind. And then he's saying, oh, when will I again have that opportunity? When will I delight in the service? When will I delight and relish the service of such a swamini, of such an enchantress, of such a queen of devotion as Radharani? So these sweet visions and sentiments are meant to saturate our minds and hearts of the sadhaka. So by repeatedly reading such books, then such saturation comes. If you have a bowl of water, and you have one sponge, like we call sponge, you know, this rubber, like foam or rubber sponge. It's actually a sea creature that moves in the ocean. We say sponge, I don't know about your language, but we say sponge, S-P-O-N-G-E. And it's like, you use it to clean the floor. You press it, you can compress it like this, and then it's very compressed. And then you put it in the water, when it expands, this is like a sponge. You, like this, and put it in the water, then it expands and absorbs all the water. When it's dry, it weighs 1 gram, and then you put it in the water, it picks up all the water, it weighs 500 grams, 500 milliliters. So our hearts are like a sponge. So these shastras are like water, rasa, bhakti ras. There's so much ras in these shastras. So when we submerge, the shastras are like a pot of ras. They're like a big bowl full of water. Ras means water, liquid. Bhakti ras, prem ras, braja ras, gopi bhav. So when we submerge our hearts in them, when we read them and study them, then we become absorbed in them, then it's like it has a sponge effect. We put our dry heart, sponge-like hearts into these shastras and read them with dedication, submission, and meditation and prayer. Then our dry hearts become soaked. They become soaked and super. They become a little bit soaked. You can put the sponge in. If you have a sponge and you put it in a bowl of water, you can just kind of put it in and take it out real fast. Boom. Immerse it in the bowl of water and take it out very fast. And don't squeeze it. And then maybe a few drops of water stick on the sponge. It becomes slightly moist. Do you follow my analogy, everyone? And then, mostly the sponge is dry. The top is completely dry. The sides are dry. The bottom is slightly moist, damp, a few drops of water. So that's called the occasional reading of Rasa Shastra. The occasional reading of Rasa Shastra makes some small pervious effect. A little bit of water. But if you put the sponge into the bowl of water, then press it and compress it, squeeze it, and keep it under the water for a few minutes, then it absorbs and sucks up so much water. Then when you pick it up, it's dripping. It's literally dripping. Practically the whole bowl of water has gone inside the sponge. Then it's dripping. And if you go somewhere, it's just dropping, wherever you move that sponge, pop, 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 it's dropping water. Then if you take your hand and squeeze it, psh, oh, big shower of water comes out. So this is the pure devotees. They've immersed their hearts into the Rasa Shastras deeply, like a sponge. And then when someone comes before them, then they squeeze the sponge over their head. Psh, and they sprinkle their heads with rasa, bhakti ras. They get, and or maybe big sponge, big bath. So then they get some nice taste, they get some nice experience. So we, as practitioners of devotion, these shastras are meant for us to soak our hearts into, soak our minds into. But mostly we hardly touch them, we hardly look at them, we hardly think about them. So we remain quite dry. Quite dry. And even if we approach the shastra, we don't approach them in the correct manner. Just like you take the sponge and you fly over the bowl of water. You fly over. Okay, there's the water, there's the sponge, but no contact. The sponge saw the water. The sponge got near the water, but didn't touch it. The sponge has to... And then sometimes the sponge lands on the water. Oh, yes. And sits there for a few minutes. Oh, I have to go now. Bye. And he goes, and he gets a little water, but then he flies a little bit, then it dries out. And he forgets that meeting with the Shastra, he forgets the meeting with the water meeting. And there's not, the effect wears out. And then the effect of that momentary meeting dries up and disappears, evaporates, and he doesn't remember that what happened. But if he comes back again and sits there and repeatedly, then pretty soon he becomes totally drenched. So this is a very nice analogy to encourage us to dive deep into the ocean of nectar of the Goswami Granthas. Prabhupada encourages us to read all of his books and all the books of the previous acharyas, and on his order and with his blessings, we are trying to carry out, go on in that way. So we can examine this purport of this verse. Now, this is actually verse 20 of the fifth Panchama Yam. The Anurag, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu states, the Anurag from which ever fresh greed is born and which is displayed in a variegated way, manifests in an astonishing, unparalleled manner and reaches the stage of Mahabhav. This is some discussion about the incremental development of prema, of course, on the level of Krishna prema, from sneha to man, to pranaya to rag, anurag, something called anurag. It has its features of everything's always fresh, anurag, ever fresh attraction, ever fresh attachment, and then bhava, mahabhav. So this is being discussed here. Only a person who has an intense craving to attain this kind of mahabhav is eligible to enter rag marg. So the shastras, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, which is primia fascia, is the primary fact or the prime shastra, the main book for displaying this phenomenon of prema known as mahabhav, which is displayed in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, in Brahmar Gita especially, chapter 47, and also in Rasleela, in Krishna's dealings with the gopis of Vrindavan, the damsel of Braj, we're introduced to this mahabhava of the gopis, and especially Radharani. And so when one hears about it or reads about it, he may become attracted by good fortune and develop some interest in their dealings and in their sevas and in their relationship, the intimacy of their dealings and the purity of their dedication and the intensity of their service to Krishna. A reader of Bhagavatam may become interested in their love in Braj Bhav and what's called Gopi Bhav. And then he reads more and he reads the commentaries of Bhagavatam. Then he finds other supplementary literatures which also discuss these topics. And he studies, of course, the technical books of Rasa, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, Ujjvala Neelamani, and then he studies Jaiva Dharma and the works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and gets a deeper understanding and develops more attachment, more understanding, more attachment, more attraction. And then he maybe wants to even follow in the footsteps of some resident of Vrindavan, serving Radharani in a similar mood of love, of Madhura Rati. Then when that greed develops more and more intensely in a genuine way, accompanied with ruchi, genuine ruchi and the symptoms of ruchi, which is beyond nishta, and artanivrti nishta than ruchi, then one becomes a true candidate, for the proper execution of what is known as Raganuga Saranam, Raganuga Bhajan. So that's what's being discussed here. Has a craving to attain. Now we don't know what that bhava is. So you can't, as I often say, you can't desire something you've never seen. You can't desire something you've never seen. You can't desire something you've never heard about. You can't desire something you don't know about. Yes, I desire something I've never seen. What is that? Well, I've never seen it. I don't know. So we have to hear, we have to see, and by accumulating knowledge, then desire arises. then intensity of desire, then will, feeling, then will. Taste or ruchi is the most important aspect of bhava bhakti. When a person has ruchi for raganuga bhajan, in the mood of Madhurya Ras, he relishes Radha Madhava's names, forms, qualities, and pastimes in his hearing and chanting. By this kind of bhajan, one can perceive the method of service of the Nitya Siddha Manjaris. In this verse from Radharas Sudaniti, Srila Bhakti, Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Pad is praying for the rasa-filled loving service of Sri Radha, who enchants the mind of Krishna. Kanu is the name for Krishna. Concealed within this verse is the influence of Madanakya Mahabhav on the heart of Sri Krishna, who is the emporium of all nectarian mellows, Akila Rasamrita Murti. In other words, this verse, which Prabhupada Saraswati describes the effect of Radharani's glance on Krishna. It's not that Radharani, and so many gopis look out of the corner of their eyes at Krishna, but this, the effect is not like this. There's Gopi Kripa Kataksha. There's Gopi Kripa Kataksha. There's Chandravali Kripa Kataksha, Lalita Kripa Kataksha. So many gopis are looking with a sidelong glance, but there's only one Radha Kripa Kataksha. Akeshri, Kureshri, Sadeshri, Sureshri, Triveda Bharatishri, Pramanashashaneshri, Rameshri, Shameshri, Pramoda Kananeshri, Brajeshri, Brajadipe, Shiradike, Namostute. So Radha Kripa Kataksha, there's a speciality, a uniqueness, Vishesh Aksha, very special glance. There's a unique speciality in the sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani. What is that? Is that her sidelong glance is saturated with Madanakya Mahabhav, as is her entire body. She is known as Mahabhagavati. She's Mahabhavati. She's full of Mahabhav. So she's also described as Mahabhav Swarupini, Srimati Radharani, Rasaraj Mahabhav, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the speciality of Radharani's glance. So when Krishna receives that sidelong glance, a glance from the corner of Radharani's eyes, which is saturated with the Madanakya Mahabhav, this intense madness of complete dedication and love for Krishna, unlike any other sakhi, only Radharani has this type of bhav. Only Radharani has this intense, concentrated feelings of love for Krishna, for his pleasure and satisfaction. No other gopi can manifest such intensity of absorption in the pleasure of Krishna as Radha. And this intensity of her heart comes out through her eyes. And when Krishna sees the sidelong glance of Radharani, when he sees it, it has this effect. His turban falls off, he drops his flute, his dhoti falls off. He becomes like devastated, pralaya. He becomes overwhelmed. He can't carry the weight of that love. He can't fathom the depth of that love. It's too heavy, it's too deep, it's too expansive and broad. It's like if someone puts 10 kilos on your shoulder, you can stand straight. They put 20. If they lower 50 kilos or 100 kilos on your shoulder, then you topple under the weight. You can't bear to hold 100 kilos on your back standing up. You just fall to the ground. Boom! Crushed by the heavy weight of that load. So Krishna is crushed by the heavy weight of the load of Radharani's prema. And he topples under the weight. And so the expression of that toppling is that first his mind topples, so his turban flies off. Then his senses topple. His senses are toppling. They get crushed by the weight of Radharani's love. So when his senses topple, then he drops the flute. He can't clutch the flute anymore. First the turban, because his mind is crushed. Then his senses, mind rules his senses. So first the mind is knocked off. When the mind is knocked off, the senses are knocked off. And then what happens? His heart topples. When his heart topples, then you die. Your mind may go haywire and you live. Your senses may go haywire or upside down, but you live. But when your heart goes haywire, Haribol, goodbye. So when Krishna's heart toppled with the weight of Radharani's love, then his whole body toppled and his dhoti fell off, then he fainted on the ground. This is the sequence. Srimati Radha Rani ki, Kartiki Devi Radha Rani ki jai, Vrindavaneshwari Radha Rani ki jai. So this is being described here, the influence. This is the influence, the prem prabhav of Radharani's love. Padma and other sakis somehow, Padma and Shaibya are the vipaksha sakis. They are in the party of Chandravali. They somehow or other enticed or allured Krishna to come to Chandravali's kunj, leaving Srimati Radha in a distressed state of extreme separation. The clever Kinkaris, however, skillfully brought him from there and submitted him to Srimati. The Kinkaris means the Manjaris. So now, the anti-party has tried to lure Krishna away from Radha and take him to Chandravali's kunj to enjoy with their beloved gopi. But the clever Manjaris are on the spot. They've intercepted him. Like when planes fly in enemy territory, some other jets will intercept them and say, listen, fly out of here, otherwise we'll down your plane. You're in enemy territory. So the Manjaris come there and say, hey, Krishna, you're in enemy territory. Either you come with us or we'll knock you off. So then the gopis, the Manjaris got on either side of Krishna, they take him by the arm, okay, come with us. Well, where are you taking me? We're taking you to Radharani. You promised to meet her. Did you forget? Oh, yeah, that's right. I was on my way, actually. So this is one service that the Manjaris perform. They escort Krishna. They bring Radharani and Krishna together. So this is how we serve Krishna. Yes, we serve Krishna by bringing him to Radha. Manjaris also serve Krishna. We're also Krishna conscious movement. But firstly, we're Radha conscious, and we're dedicated to the service of Radha's feet. This is Radha Dasyam, Radha Sneha Adhika. But, of course, Radha's greatest service is to always be with Krishna serving him. So we can't separate service from Radha from service of Krishna. But primarily, our main focus is the service of Radharani and the pleasure of Radharani. If she wants to be pleased without Krishna, then we'll keep Krishna away from Radharani. Hey, out. You can't see her. Don't come here. You can't see her. But if Radharani's pleased to meet with Krishna, then we'll go to Krishna and bring Krishna to Radharani. It's not that we're always bringing Krishna to Radharani, but we're always with Radharani and we're always trying to please Radharani. This is Manjari Seva, Manjari Bhav, Manjari Sru Bhajan. So we draw our line. Our boss is Radharani, or Ishwari. The paycheck comes from her hand, not from Krishna's hand. If Krishna's happy with us or not, we don't care. But Radharani has to be happy with us. Of course Krishna's happy with us, because we're always making arrangements so that he can be with Radharani. And reminding him, when he forgets about Radharani, we remind him in so many ways. So this is being told here. The Kinkari Manjaris, they very skillfully brought Krishna from Chandravali and handed him over to Srimati. At that time, Radha's mood of contrariness, Man, was set in motion. First, she forbade Krishna to touch her. Don't touch me. Then she exhibited feigned anger. Feigned means pretended. And cast a crooked sidelong glance at him. Sri Radha is the embodiment of Mahabhav. And the only function of Mahabhav, what is the function, why does Radharani exhibit Mahabhav? Is to incite happiness in Sri Krishna's heart. This verse describes Madanakya Mahabhav. And this incites countless indescribable transcendental sentiments in the heart of Akila Rasamrita Murti Sri Krishna. Thus silencing his boastfulness. Usually Krishna is quite audacious and quite boastful. He's always prancing around very proud. Krishna likes the peacocks and he wears a peacock feather on his head because peacocks strut very proudly. When peacocks strut, strut here and there, they walk very proudly. So this is how Krishna walks. He walks like a peacock also. I'm the boss here. That's why when I see these monkeys, these male monkeys, it reminds me of Krishna. These monkeys, they walk. So Krishna's like that. They have their tail going like this, and Krishna has his peacock feather going like this. So when he makes a mistake by ignoring or forgetting Radha, of course it's all Leela, Prem Leela, blissful Ananda Leela, Maya, Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya, Hemava Divyavaji, Sundaraya, Tasmai Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya, Chaitanya Rasa, Chaitanya Chandraya Rasa Pradaya, Namo Namaste. So when he displays this apparently ignoring or forgetting Radha, then the mantris and gopis bring him to Radha, and she's in a contrary mood of man, love sulk or pouting. That's another feature and phase of another feature of love. Krishna likes to see Radharani in that mood of distaste or disinterest. Externally disinterested, but internally interested. Radharani is always internally interested in Krishna. There's never a moment in Radharani's heart when she doesn't want to be with Krishna. But for the pleasure of Krishna and to satisfy him and to give him newer and newer tastes and love, then Radharani manifests Mahabhav and this man prem for his happiness, because he likes to see Radharani in these features. So this is at this time Krishna becomes very humble. He gives up his peacock pride, proud as a peacock. He becomes very humble. Trinada Pisunichana Turori Vasahishana. He stops boasting. He speaks very gentle words, very soft words. Oh, Radharani, I'm your servant. Please forgive me. You are the queen of Vrindavan. You are everything. And then he starts glorifying her, and his boastfulness, his pride becomes diminished to nothing. So the mandris are witness. They witness all of this. They witness this transformation of Krishna's character in the presence of Radharani's man. The presence of Radharani's man, Krishna becomes a very, very humble. He becomes like a kinkar himself. Takes a very humble service mood. Sri Krishna becomes submerged in a swoon of bliss, pierced by the arrow of Srimati's crooked sidelong glance. On a battlefield, a hero faints when struck by an arrow, and his bow, arrows, crown, and clothes, ornaments, everything becomes scattered on the ground. Similarly, in the battle of Cupid, the strike of one arrow-like glance makes Krishna's flute fall from his hand, the peacock feather crown fall from his head, and a yellow cloth fall from the body of the transcendental young Cupid, and he faints. It's called Navina Madan. Krishna's one name is Navina Madan. Navina Madan means the new Cupid, the fresh Cupid, Navina Madan. And he faints, pralaya, tum. As I said, his heart couldn't bear the weight of the prem, then his dhoti fell, then his body fell. Everything fell. What's left? Mind, senses, body, everything fell. The turban represents the falling of the mind. The flute represents the falling of the senses. And the dhoti represents the falling of the body. So Manokaya Vakya, and his flute is his voice. The flute is fallen, he can't express his voice. He's dumbfounded, he faints on the ground. There's one strike from the Cupid of Radha. That person whose crooked sidelong glances, that person whose crooked sidelong glances strike the Brajasundaris like Cupid's arrows, has now fallen on the ground. Only by Sri Radha's sidelong glance does he who bewilders Cupid fall unconscious. So ordinarily Krishna is throwing it. We have a prayer which we're not saying, but there's a prayer also written called Krishna Kripa Kataksha. Same as Radha Kripa Kataksha. And in that prayer, it describes how Krishna, with a sidelong glance, he knocks off all the Brajasundaris, the beautiful young ladies of Braj. They faint. Their saris, the knots of the nidhi bandhan, the knots of their underwear become loose. Their hair becomes undone. Like he drops his turban, their braids become loose and their hair scatters on their shoulders. And their water pots they're carrying on their head fall off. or they're carrying on their hip, they drop whatever they have in their hands, and their sari, their underwear becomes loosened, and their sari starts to slip off their bodies when he looks at them. That's the other gopis, except Radha. Because he's Madan Mohan, Krishna's Madan Mohan. He who bewilders Cupid and causes the bewilderment. Krishna bewilders the minds and hearts of every sundari in the entire universe. From the Deva sundari, the Swarga sundaris. The Swarga sundaris, the Braja sundaris, the Naga sundaris. The beautiful ladies in the hellish, the Naga queen, the snake queens, or the queens of Swarga, the beautiful devis of Swarga, or the Braja devis. He bewilders them all just with a sidelong glance, and they lose everything. They topple under the weight of that love. But then there's one gopi out of the millions of gopis. There's one sundari, Ati Sundari, the original, not the dasi. There's one sundari, Ati Sundari, Radharani. When she, that one sundari, that Braja Sundari, when she casts that Ati Braja Sundari, when she casts a glance at Krishna, then it's all over, Jack. It's finished. Krishna's finished. Because that Radharani, that Vrishabhanu Nandini, that Vrindavaneshwari, her name is Madan Mohan Mohini. She who bewilders and enchants and defeats and conquers the bewilderer and defeater of Cupid with one arrow glance from her eyes. Only by Radha's one sidelong glance, Krishna, who bewilders Cupid, falls unconscious, defeated, flat on the ground. That flute, by whose very sweet sound hundreds and hundreds of Braja Sundaris become stricken with restlessness, like deer struck by the arrows of a hunter, now lies on the ground, fallen from a trembling hand. Madhava's peacock feather crowned, which is the emblem of the pastimes of Braj, and which enamors the minds of the Gopa Ramanis, the lovers of beautiful lovers, Gopi lovers, now rolls in the dust as a result of Sri Radha's crooked sidelong glance. That yellow cloth Pitambara Dhoti, which is like a lightning bolt from a fresh thunder cloud, emanates splendorous beauty, and upon seeing which the Braja Ramanis gave up the honor of their lineage, has now fallen down on the ground. This condition of the dear Lalita Nayak, Krishna, is all due to one crooked sidelong glance of Sri Radha. Param Vijayate Srimati Radharani Ki. The embodiment of Ananda Ras has fainted by the arrow of Sri Radha's sidelong glance. Although Srimati makes many attempts to break this swoon of bliss, it cannot be broken. Now the service starts for the Rasa Kinkaris. In other words, the Manjaris. Radharani is trying to revive Krishna, who has fallen unconscious on the ground, stricken by the arrows of Madanakya Mahabhava from Radharani's sidelong glance. And she's trying to revive him, but he's lost. Now the Manjaris try to come to the aid. Hospice workers. They try to come to the aid of Krishna in his dying moments, impaled under the arrows of love. So with a sweet voice, one Manjari sings Madana Rag, which is a melody of Cupid. There's different ragas. There's Mala Rag, Dhanashri Rag, Malara Rag, there's Vasant Rag, different ragas which induce different emotions and create different effects in the atmosphere. So this is Madana. Madana, this is Cupid. Madana. Madan. Madan Rag. And this Manjari learned this rag personally from Radharani, because Radharani teaches singing. Either Vishakha Sakhi or Lita teaches singing to the Manjaris. But this particular rag was learned directly from Radharani, the Manjari learned. That Manjari Kinkari breaks the swoon of Krishna, who has fainted in Prem, and thus facilitates Radharani's meeting with her beloved. This is the maidservant's beautiful service that enhances the ras in order to arrange for the sweet pastimes of the divine couple, so they can begin to relish the nectar. Then at the end of their pastime, the Manjaris desire to attain the good fortune of serving them by offering cool water, betel nuts, a fan, and so forth. So this ends text 20. So tomorrow we'll start. So this is some of the wonderful intimate services that cannot be rendered by the Sakhis Radharani Sakhis, but only by the maidservant Manjaris, like Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari. And this is the great fortune that's been distributed in the age of Kali by Lord Chaitanya to all the lucky souls like us. Our Guru Parampara is distributing the same thing throughout the world. And if we're very fortunate, we can also attain the eternal service of the lotus feet of Radharani in this Kinkari Bhav by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the holy name of the Lord and by the mercy of Sri Guru. Hare Krishna.